It is 9:46 past the hour. Final segment this hour with David Vann from SoonerPolitics.org. And you mentioned a couple times your interest and or involvement with mental health issues. And I was asking you about that. And you, I guess you mentioned your dad was a vet, had PTSD, and medical marijuana. Well, it wasn't medical marijuana at the time. Marijuana seemed to be the only thing that really would address his issues.
Well, yeah. The VA standard treatment is let's fill you full of benzodiazepine tranquilizers. And even though you're a zombie, they consider it success because you're not having flashbacks.
Or
panic attacks. And now several of these guys, instead of taking the 900 pills a day, like some of them I've talked to, they've got that vape pen in their pocket that as an on as needed basis, they take a quick inhale when they feel a panic attack coming. Within 10 seconds, it's gone.
You're not doping yourself up on anti-anxiety medication.
And you may go weeks without needing anything.
You need to interview that Dr. Sarah Knife Chief I had on with this PTSD shot. It's actually prolotherapy. I've gone for it twice since my operation. I had planned on spending a lot of time this year on PTSD and helping vets because people, I've seen guys coming through the studio, man, they're strung out almost like junkies. And, and they're, you know, stuff's going on there. And this is actually giving them relief. And prior to my my seizure and my accident, I've never been diagnosed with PTSD. I went for the shot and it did help me sleep because I got sleep apnea. They had helped me there. But after this this incident, because I really traumatized, I gave a guy permission to saw my skull off. It's like, it was crazy, you know, and I had 38 staples in my head. But that shot, boy, that's a lifesaver because it's nothing short of cathartic. I've never been an emotional guy, but both times after getting that, I cried like a little baby. Yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I mean, it was like, it was worse than Glenn Beck. That's how bad it was. tissue, please. But obviously there's something bottled up in me that I got a release, and I felt much better, and I got a lot of sleep out of it too.
It's not
marijuana. It's not pharmaceuticals. They're not doping you up. It's a shot that is giving people relief. And it's not just vets that have PTSD. You know, I brought women on the program, Tara and Drew as well. Traumatic events in your life can give you PTSD, like sawing off the back of your skull. And now for me, it's all of a sudden, it's like, wow, this is real. I wanted to do something this year, especially for vets. I just didn't want to become part of the club.
You know, I was telling you off air too, my dad had a similar procedure done. They took part of his skull off. He had a staph infection in his brain. But in that physiological shifting that goes on in your brain after any of that, you're going to have behavioral things you got to be prepared for. My dad had to take medicines for all kinds of things during that post-op time that never before or since has he had to. So some of this is just transitional.
Some of it's temporary. Some of it's people say they've noticed a change in me, hopefully for the better. But that PTSD stuff is real. I was telling you about being at IHOP and a tray being dropped, and it was like I'm on full alert, man. It's just like a total adrenaline dump. I mean, in the past, it would have bothered me, but not like this. But fortunately, I recognized what was going on, you know, and didn't overreact. Back to the medical marijuana, you also mentioned recreational being on the ballot. The way you were sounding earlier, I don't think you think it's going to pass, but or is it being put there to have those people show up to benefit Kendra?
Yeah, that's really in my mind when
strategy.
You look at Michelle Tilley, I believe is the name, and Ryan Kiesel, who are Democrat operatives at state level. They're bringing in out-of-state money to help push this. I mean, when you're hiring petition signature gatherers, that's a lot of money. You know, how did you get that money? So I think it's the motive is to get the turnout on Election Day.
Do you think we'll see recreational marijuana here in Oklahoma anytime soon? Do we want to be like Colorado?
Well, I would hope, and several of the patients I've talked to, I've got a Facebook group of over 11,000 patients that I administrate, and they help each other because the doctors can't really say, here's what the FDA says to take. You know, so they're helping each other, and it's working out great. It's Oklahoma MMA Facebook group. But the whole point of it is we've got to get the state past the fears, kind of like you were very helpful when you talked about your mother's pain management issues up in Pennsylvania and how it went great and it didn't turn her into a pothead.
No.
It's not a gateway drug. In fact, it got her off of opioids.
Yeah.
So there's good things happening there. And I think as the people in mass get over some of the reefer madness stuff, I think we're going to relook at prohibition at some point.
Interesting. But how do we, if we go down that road, how do we prevent ourselves from becoming like Colorado? Because some of these states where they went full recreational, there's all sorts of new problems.
Yeah.
And even when we had medical marijuana here, it was so, the way it was done was so backwards. Law enforcement didn't know what they were supposed to do. The DA's office didn't know what they were supposed to do. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in talking to Chip Paul, the author of it, or the principal author, he, you know, he did push it through pretty quick. He was naive in some of the language, and he admits some of the things were missing there. We're a lot different from Colorado, and we'll never be like Colorado. Part of it is because we aren't looking at, we aren't buying legalization through high taxation.
Okay.
And I would never support something like 807, which starts out with 15% excise tax plus another 9% sales tax. I'm not going to go for that.
Is Chip opposed to 807?
Absolutely.
Because of some of those reasons. Plus, doesn't this also undercut medical marijuana?
Well, that's the fear. I don't know where they go on that. Not saying it's not legitimate there. But the patients, I ran a poll of my big Facebook group on Oklahoma MMA, and it was like, you know, 20-1.
Mm-hmm.
Patients were saying, don't go for 807.
Right.
788's working right now. Let's give it more time for the whole community to see that, you know, these dire, you know, end of civilization narratives were phony. Yeah. So
the thing that I've always, and I've said this since I first arrived here, that you're going to see a day when marijuana is legalized in Oklahoma, okay? And it's not because it's the right or the moral thing to do, but because our legislators in their never-ending quest for more revenue, they're going to see it. Look, this is a cash crop that we can tax and regulate the living hell out of, and they just can't help themselves. Yeah, I think you had an article up. What are the taxes they're bringing in on the medical marijuana alone so far?
I think we're on course for about 80,000 total or 80 million total taxes.
That's a lot of money.
A year.
Where's the money going?
The legislature has to appropriate it, but in 788, we agreed it was going to go to drug treatment programs as well as education.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up because remember 780, 781. 781 was supposed to go for that too.
Sure.
Where's the money for the drug treatment?
Yeah, well, as soon as we quit appropriating it to the Department of Corrections, it's supposed to move over there. Let's see what our legislature does.
Because the reality is the prisons in the state, people think that when people go there, they're getting, you know, they're getting help to get off of meth. They're getting help. Exactly. You're laughing. Or they're getting, you know, continuing education so they've got a skill when they come out.
No.
We're not doing that with the men or the women.
Yeah. In fact, I had a town hall last month, and T.J. Marty was saying, well, we've got another 150 or so that Stitt's going to do clemency for, but they're not quite ready to come out. And, you know, the people at this meeting said, why aren't they ready? You know, this was a nonviolent crime that they're put in there for. Evidently, the narrative from T.J. Marty was, well, they're kind of broke now, and we got to fix them before we can let them out of jail. Well, who broke them?
Yeah.
You know, so
the reality is that the prisons here are simply a holding tank.
Yeah, they are.
It's not. They're not fixing anything.
Yeah,
they're holding on to it until it's let out again, and then you know.
Yeah.
With certitude, they're going to be right back doing what they did again because they've been given no incentive, no tools to change.
Yeah, and some of these laws are totally political and arbitrary. Like I said, on this date 90 years ago, Pat, liquor was a federal crime, but marijuana was completely legal 90 years ago in this state in Oklahoma.
Wow.
So some of these things are just society kind of flexes one way or the other on what they arbitrarily think is wrong, and a lot of it's culturally based.
Yeah. Yeah. David, we're out of time. Appreciate you stopping by. We'll put this up on the podcast immediately after the show today at talkradio1170.com. also up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/KFAQTulsa. Before I let you go, tell people where they can find out more about you and what you do.
Soonerpolitics.org. It's a consortium of citizen bloggers, and you can find us on the web and on Facebook and Twitter.
Appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk again soon. Thank you so much.
Log on to talkradio1170.com to check out all of Pat Campbell's podcasts, powered by the law offices of John M. Dunn.